Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are so excited to have you here today as we have a very, very special guest. His name is Kyle Lipton, and he is an embodiment coach, a speaker, and a workshop facilitator who does amazing, amazing work. So I actually met Kyle on Facebook, and I don't remember how exactly we got connected, but I've been following his feed for a few months now and love, love, love a lot of the content that he posts about being somebody who is authentic and living in that authentic space. And so Kyle, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about you?
Yeah, nice to be here. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm an embodiment coach. I'm essentially a guide for people's soul. And really what I'm devoted to is supporting people with stepping into more of their own personal freedom, personal truth, and living an inside out life instead of an outside in life.
Oh, I love that. So one of the posts that I saw more recently was talking a lot about the approach that a lot of coaches take when it comes to sales.
Oh, yeah.
And this was pretty entertaining. You've done a few of these. They're more comedy-based, but there's so much truth in it, which is what I love.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So what's your general take and really kind of the shift that's been happening, especially more recently with how the typical sales approach with the manipulation and the scarcity tactics, it just really isn't working anymore?
Yeah, I think we're moving into an age of just being in more integrity, and the more out of integrity you are, the more painful it's actually going to experience and the more painful it's going to feel in our own nervous systems. But yeah, I've actually had a really awesome shift around sales and money myself. And I would say one of the biggest things, it's about intuition. It's about connecting with the person. Mm. So if you think about it from like a higher consciousness perspective, maybe you had a soul contract with the person who's actually going to become your client. And there's some people you're just literally not meant to serve. And maybe the test is, are you going to take the money from the person you're not supposed to take the money from and get into that coaching relationship? Or are you going to honor your integrity? And what I know to be true for myself is I feel a power and an inspiration in supporting people in navigating those sales conversations if I know I'm meant to work with that person. So I'm happy to like stand through and support them with limiting beliefs and, you know, get them to actually see what's here and hold up a mirror. Because essentially as coaches, what we're doing is saying, this is your vision. Awesome. Like, let's get there. And anything that's out of alignment, that's out of integrity with that, is them either being scared or them being delusional. Mm-hmm. Being scared is awesome because you can be scared and be compassionate, but being delusional makes everything more complex than it needs to be. Yeah, simplicity is rooted in love and complexity is definitely fear-based.
Love it. Amazing. So let me ask you this question. When it comes to what you do in your own evolution, what do you believe has been your biggest breakthrough or your biggest revelation?
That's a really good question. I don't know if I could just answer that with one thing, but one thing that I'll say is transparency and a deep sense of vulnerability, and to be able to bare my heart and soul to the people in my life and to really allow them to see me and to really receive and to trust. Because a lot of times I'll speak from my own experience, there's this fear with being fully seen. So we don't allow ourselves to be fully seen. So we're constantly protecting ourselves. But the plot twist, so to speak, is then we can't actually receive what wants to come to us because we're not fully bearing our soul to another human. So we're only kind of getting the abundance, or we're only kind of getting the love that we want. So it's a bit ironic, but super powerful to just step into that space.
I love that. And so what would you say to somebody who is in that place right now where they're trying to figure out how to step into more of that authentic self, but they're struggling a little bit?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I would say don't try. Like, be like Yoda, do or do not, but don't try. I would say to just honor yourself, and how that could look is maybe taking a baby step and having a conversation with someone that you've been putting it off. Maybe go on Facebook Live and share something you've never shared before. Maybe have that conversation with your partner in a relationship about something that triggers you, or even just really expressing your love to someone and truly allowing. Man, I know I've had these moments with my girlfriend where it's like, whoa, I'm expressing so much love, and that's scary to me, or it has been at times. Because it's like this whole fear of like, oh, if I give too much, what if it goes away?
Yep.
Right. You're like, I've been there.
Yep. So it's so interesting. And I love diving into this. And the more that we can get into it, awesome. And just really understanding your beliefs and your perception about success. And especially in the entrepreneurial world, it's something that it's very different when you come from a more soul-oriented approach. Mm. What's that like for you? And what do you define as success?
So what's it like for me in terms of beliefs, like what beliefs I carry and things like that?
Exactly.
Well, I think it's an interesting thing to think about beliefs, because I think beliefs can be effective and ineffective. And then I also know that there's a space beyond belief, which would be like more of our soul or spirit. So I think beliefs can be good to wear, but it has to be a choice that we wear the belief. And a lot of us, we wear, if you picture a belief to be a helmet and you put the helmet on, and maybe the belief is, I'm freaking amazing, or I'm an incredible speaker, which could be really awesome. But sometimes what happens is we'll wear the helmet and then we'll think we are the helmet. Be like, oh, I am this helmet. Like, I am this speaker, which you are, and you're a lot more than that. So beliefs can be really amazing and simultaneously can also finite the infinite, which isn't true.
I love that. That's so interesting. I recently attended a smaller event, but the concept was around masks and how a lot of time people will hide behind this mask, right? This person that they want the world to believe they are, but oftentimes they're not fully expressing the depths of who they really are because they are afraid of what people are going to think or believe about them. Would you say that that's kind of similar to what you're talking about in regards to those beliefs?
Yeah. I mean, I think not necessarily. I think in one context, beliefs can be awesome. Like, I think they can sort of propel the flavor of your soul's essence. Mm. It's almost like a nice boost, a nice lift. And then simultaneously, when we cling to the beliefs and believe that we are the beliefs, that's where holding on to control and fear and physical tension in the body manifests. Mm. Because holding on to something, it's not rooted in truth, because you don't need to hold on to anything that's true and real and eternal.
Amazing. We've spent a little bit of time talking previously to those of you listening, and if you watched the previous episodes, about quantum physics and quantum mechanics and how we actually really do have this ability to completely transform who we believe we are and how we show up in the world. Totally. And that sounds a little bit about kind of what you're bringing up here in the context of when we limit ourselves to saying we're only this one thing, we no longer have access to all the other potentials of what we can truly step into.
Totally.
Love it. So what, if any, is there a process that you help your clients go through to really kind of let go of holding on to that static identity or that static sense of self so that they can really tap into that infinite potential?
Yeah, well, the way I work with clients might be a little different. I'm extremely intuitive, so it's a lot of customized stuff, which just comes from being present and letting God, the universe, whatever you call it, work through me. To support that person. But what it could look like is doing an inner child meditation. What it could look like is even just saying something from like, is that true? Mm. And to be present enough to where that actually activates something in their being, to kind of like snapping out of the matrix, like, oh, wow, that's not true. Mm. Literally, this identity isn't true. And even just, it's an example, a quote that I really love is, what you see is what you be. Mm. Which is so indicative of what happens when we try on a belief system. We can only see from that belief system, which may cut us off from people, places, opportunities, and circumstances that are actually trying to come into our system and support us with our soul's evolution. But when we're blind to it, we can't receive those things. So one thing I think is important, and if you're listening, is to take time to just disconnect. And you can always re-engage the belief systems, but take time to disconnect and then just get a more broad spectrum view. It's like, have you ever been triggered and you can only literally see from that trigger? And you're like, nope, this is true. And then you get all the logical evidence to support that. But the interesting thing about logic is you can't actually get true understanding from logic, because logic can always disprove itself. So you're always in this sort of like, oh, here's the answer. Oh, but wait, there's a counterexample. And the true understanding comes below logic, which is similar to beliefs. It goes below beliefs, and then you can use the mind as a servant rather than the creator of every single thing in your experience.
Amazing. That's so powerful, because I know for myself, and I'm sure for a lot of you listening, that getting triggered is something that we oftentimes do experience a lot of, especially when it's time for us to evolve, per se, right? And so it's interesting. I'm curious, what's your take on the belief or the saying that when you're triggered by something, it's triggering something within you that needs to be healed?
Totally. Well, going back to the whole definition of what you see is what you be, if we are all one and unity consciousness is a real thing, then me, for example, let's say if I got triggered by you, I'm really just getting triggered by myself in another form, and I'm experiencing another human being as me in another form. They're all pointing us back to unconditional love. And until we can love that and merge with it and be one with it, realizing it's a part of ourselves, then we'll continually play out that cycle of triggers and things, and it just takes a moment of presence and love and really being with it to integrate that energy that has been wanting to come. And the joke of it is we get triggered by it, but the irony is it's just love underneath all the stories and everything. So it's like we're so scared of love.
So many people would say that they're afraid of love because they don't want to get hurt. What would you say to that?
Well, I would say the interesting thing about that is love isn't what's painful. The resistance to love is what's painful. And we're so resistant to love, and we associate our resistance to it with, that's the pain of love. It's like, no, you're just resisting it. And that's why, I mean, who here has ever been madly in love with someone? And when you're in that zone, in that bubble with the other person, you're like on cloud nine, you're like in another world. But when you fear that person leaving, which means losing love, then the physical body gets tense and our thinking gets all crazy sometimes, but it's never love that gets us out of whack. It's always the resistance to love.
That's really powerful. And I know for a lot of people right now, they're probably going inside and thinking about that. And I know for myself, there's been times in the past where it's been, oh, what if they leave?
Right, totally.
And it's scary. And it's what I've come to recognize, and again, wherever your beliefs match up, is it's accepting that that's a possibility and being okay with it. And that's how you can start to release some of that resistance.
So good. Yes.
Love it. Amazing. So let's learn a little bit more about you. Tell us a little bit more about some of your biggest challenges and how you've overcome those to get to where you are today.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a family with a lot of love, not a lot of money. I spent most of my childhood in a place called Westchester, California, which is right near Los Angeles Airport. One big challenge for me has been this feeling of not fitting in, or like not finding my people. I went to 3 different high schools, and it wasn't until maybe my junior year where I really started to find my clique. I remember in my sophomore year, I hung out with these kids and they always hung out with each other, but I was always the one who never got invited to hang out afterwards outside of school. And I remember that really used to irritate me. And I've really been on this quest to discover and embody who I really am. I've had many challenges. I've lived in multiple homeless shelters with my family growing up, and had a very traumatic sexual experience when I was a kid. I had a sexual experience with one of my friends who was a guy that really shifted some things in my psyche, and lots of guilt and shame and fear around that. It's also been one of my greatest catalysts. Like, I shared that on another podcast, and someone reached out to me. And this, just for people listening, whatever is your greatest secret is actually your greatest liberator for yourself and for others. And someone messaged me after I was on that podcast and basically was like, hey, I've never shared this with another soul on the planet. And she had a similar experience. And it just goes to show that we're all one. And you know what you're going through is actually liberating for other people.
It's so powerful. I get chills when people share with their stories, especially when it's something in regards to that, because it is true. And as unfortunate as it is, what I've found is so many amazing, amazing people have had such traumatic experiences.
Totally.
So how did you get from being the outcast and kind of not really fitting into school to being the beautiful and amazing soul you are today?
Acceptance. I've had some incredible mentors. I was in community college for a little bit and had an opportunity to work for another amazing mentor. I won't mention his name because I don't really resonate much now, but he was a great catalyst for me. And another great catalyst of mine was like another one of my mentors, Preston Smiles. It's just like a big brother for me. Just incredible mentors and my own experiences, my own revelations, my own just being in life, but like really being in life and being devoted to truth, knowing that's the only thing that's real and realizing I can't be hurt by being me. It's actually the safest place to be and to show up powerfully, speaking my truth and honoring who I am and what I'm experiencing has been one of the greatest teachers. And it's very simple, but when we get in fear of that, we make it so much more complex and complicated than it needs to be. Mm. And it can be also the scariest rite of passage we ever encounter in our life. It could be scary to wake up and realize you're in an illusion.
So for those listening that may not know or understand yet what you mean when you say waking up for an illusion, how would you explain that?
Well, I've been in this dance myself recently, but the best way I can explain it is if you've ever had a lucid dream and you wake up and you're in the dream, that's a similar experience to how it occurs for me. It's like all these characters and people are there. I'll give an example. I was at the store yesterday and there was a guy that I know who I've had a trigger around, and I saw him, didn't see him for a while that day. And then, cause I was just in Whole Foods. And then I bounced, was with my buddy, and I just had a feeling cause we were going to go eat after. I was like, I'm going to see him again. And then I go in there, sure enough, same dude. And it's these little messages and little awarenesses to realize thing. Everyone's literally a character in your dream, in your game, and they're all you in another form. Mm-hmm. And that you're literally co-creating reality with your frequency, and that everyone that you see and experience is part of who you're being, and you're receiving them based on how you're being. You're literally the orchestrator of your game in life. That's what I mean by illusion and dream. And there's a sense of this isn't actually real.
Mm. And this is really cool. So we've spent some time talking about vibrational frequencies and emotions and how to actually change and step into and create a higher frequency in and of yourself. And I love what you're bringing up here in the sense that we really do orchestrate and create our own reality and our own experience through that vibrational frequency. For those people who may not understand this, I would highly, highly recommend and encourage going back to the episode where Den and I did spend about 40 minutes talking about vibrational frequencies and what they are and how to understand the lower level frequencies and the higher level frequencies. But for the purpose of this, what I would love to know is what for you has been the biggest ways to really shift when you find yourself living in a lower frequency and stepping into one of higher frequency?
So many answers to that question, but one is to feel the awareness under your thoughts and feelings. Mm. So it's like there's your thoughts and your feelings, and feelings could literally just be a combination of conditioning and emotional patterns. And, you know, it's like some people throw them in a situation and every single time, no matter what, they always find a way to feel guilty or feel sad or feel depressed, which isn't their deepest truth. So even to just take a moment, 2 to 5 seconds, and to tune in to what's happening below your thoughts and below your emotions. It may sound a little esoteric and philosophical, but it's an actual practice that you can do to really tune in and even just ask yourself powerful questions. What is wanting to emerge through me? How can I be a bigger conduit for love and gratitude? Vulnerability is huge. Mm. Sharing your heart and soul with someone and to have those authentic moments. And I think you release a lot of trapped energy, which inherently creates a higher frequency. Because a lot of times when our throats are blocked off, there's an expression that wants to move through us that we're not allowing. But as soon as we say that thing that maybe felt uncomfortable, we free up space in our physical body. There's a lot more I could say on this. There's a lot more I want to say on this. That's some big stuff. And also just expressing the emotions. Like I was literally just, I've felt a lot of anger today. And I decided to just work out and really like be in that anger and rage. And I can feel underneath that there's a lot of power that wants to emerge through me. So to honor yourself and in a way that is hopefully not harmful to others, I would encourage you not to, like, at least maliciously.
Yeah.
Sometimes stuff hurts people. Sometimes stuff triggers people, which is cool, but don't.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, that's some quick ways. And be grateful and realize there is always another perspective. Like that's true humility. Absolutely. Question your beliefs, question your thoughts. Yeah.
So it's interesting that you brought this one up because this is one that I hear a lot from people, especially high achievers, is that I can't feel sad and I shouldn't feel this way and I don't want to feel like this. And almost making those lower frequency emotions or those more negative emotional states wrong, What would you say to somebody who has that mentality where they feel like they can't or they shouldn't or that it's wrong to feel those ways?
Well, the paradox of it is when you actually accept them, you actually transmute them faster. And by transmute, I mean you're actually able to shift. But when you're in resistance to the emotion, you're fighting it, saying, I can't feel it, or I'm not supposed to feel it, or I shouldn't feel it. You're actually amping up the energy by saying, oh, I don't want to feel this. I can't feel this. But there's still this, which is the emotion. And you're pumping all that energy into there, which is a resistant state. And what is so powerful is even just feeling, what would it be like to not care, to just fully accept all my emotions, just allow them to pass through me? And the more that we can be in that state, the more actual truth can occur, because you're in acceptance. And acceptance is love. And love integrates all the other emotions.
I love it. So as we're coming closer to the end here, it's interesting because there's a lot of things that we've talked about, but they almost kind of go full circle in the sense that to really step into and embody who you truly are, you have to let go of the holding on to what you believe you are so you can really accept all of who you are. And peace, part of that from what you've mentioned, is really that piece of acceptance, of being able to step into love and letting go of resistance by acknowledging and feeling and giving yourself permission to experience all of it.
Yeah, so good.
Love it. Amazing. So is there anything that you would want to have our listeners hear and or know before we wrap up here?
That you're amazing and everything is waiting for you on the other side of fear and just stepping into who you actually are. The best analogy I could use that's so true for all of us is imagine you're on a curtain behind a stage, and there's on the other side of it, there's all these fans, all these people waiting for you who have been crying and so grateful that you finally decided to step on stage. And a lot of us are waiting backstage, which is the fear, but everything that we want and all the goodness, all the love, all the money, everything is literally on the other side of just walking through that curtain and realizing everyone has been waiting for you.
I love that. Oh, so powerful. I've got chills.
Awesome.
Amazing. So for any of you who would like to learn more about Kyle or follow him on social media, I believe you said Facebook and Instagram are going to be the best options.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So we'll make sure we post those handles down below for those of you who want to check him out. Otherwise, we'd like to thank you so, so much for listening and tuning in. Kyle, thank you so, so much for all of your wisdom and insights. We appreciate it so much.
It was a pleasure to be on.
Awesome. And we will see you all next week on the next episode. Have a good one.